The following is a recording for Rafael Borja from iAdvise on Tuesday, November 17th, 2015 at 9 a.m. Central. Minsur, third quarter 2015. Good morning and welcome to Minsur's third quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Josh, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Minsur's third quarter 2015 earnings call. We have with us today Minsur's senior management team who will discuss the company's third quarter 2015 consolidated results after the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693 and we will immediately send you a copy. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you're a member of the media, please contact the company directly. Please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the quarterly report, which was issued yesterday. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Gianflavio Carosi, Chief Financial Officer. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. And thank you again for joining us as we review Minsur's results for the third quarter and nine-month period of 2015. As we usually do, first I will present a summary of the results, and then I will move on to a more detailed discussion of each business operation. At that point, Gianflavio, our CFO, will review the financial performance for the quarter prior to moving on to the Q&A session. Q3, or the third quarter of this year, has been a very challenging quarter as we faced the partial stoppage of our hydroelectric plant at Impitinga, our mine in Brazil, and a continued negative commodity price environment. However, on the flip side, it was a strong quarter from an operational perspective, as I'm going to report in more detail. We were able to quickly react to the event of Pitinga, and despite the energy supply constraints, maintain our production guidance for the year, expand our product mix, and strengthen our marketing position at Taboca, maintain on track our production estimates for San Rafael, and surpass the production estimates for the year at Pucamarca. We were also able to achieve significant cost reductions and efficiencies in all our operations while continuing to advance our growth prospects when the industry seems to be going in a different direction. We keep investing to replenish resources and we keep investing in our growth projects for the future. Before moving on to individual operational performance, I would like to provide you with an update on the status of our Pitinga mine in Brazil. As you know, last quarter we announced that we had experienced an event at our hydroelectric plant at Pitinga, and as a result of this event, we were forced to partially suspend activities at the hydroelectric dam and production facilities while we evaluated the situation and decided on a course of action. The status today is that the water leaks have stopped, a cofferdam was built around the affected area in order to isolate it, and repair works have started. The operations and the situation at the hydroelectric plant has been absolutely put under control and in a very short time. Operations at the mine and the plant were shut down for 21 days in August as a precautionary measure until the area was secured. On August 26, production resumed at 67% of nameplate capacity as the energy supply was restricted. We have initiated the repair works at the dike of the hydro plant, and we expect it to take between 9 to 12 months at a cost of approximately $18 million. After evaluating all the different alternatives, given that context, we concluded that the best option was to keep Pitinga running and producing at the highest possible capacity using the diesel generators available to supply energy. despite the impact in higher operating costs. This was mainly driven by the fact that even with the diesel generators and given the cost reductions that we have achieved at the plant and at the mine, we still have a positive contribution margin at the operation. To mitigate the impact of the energy constraints, we immediately implemented an action plan which consisted of, one, a drawdown of concentrate stocks, two, processing concentrates produced from slags accumulated and stockpiled at Pirapora over the years. This, in September alone, resulted in additional production of 50 tons of refined tin. Third, from a cost perspective, we launched a very aggressive restructuring project at Taboca, which consists of a big transformation for the mine. We have assigned a transformation team, mined by the best professionals in each discipline from our corporate team, to exclusively work on four areas. The first one is identifying and executing a cost reduction and operational improvement plan. The second one is to assure the timely repair of the hydroelectric plant. The third one is to assure the timely implementation of Pitinga's expansion projects. And the fourth and last one is to assure the implementation of an operational management system, a world-class operational management system at the mine. This team will be fully dedicated to this task for the next 6 months. As a result of all the actions taken, we have been able to keep Pirapora on track with the production guidance for the year, despite running at two-thirds of capacity in the mine during the second half of this year. Our focus on costs and operational efficiencies are not limited to Taboca, as we are at the same time working in some cases with external support on optimizing cost structures and operational productivity at all of our operating units. Now, moving on to more specific results on each of our operations, I will start with our Pitinga and Pirapora smelter in Brazil, our Taboca subsidiary in Brazil. During the third quarter, and again, due to the hydroelectric plant event that forced the mine to limit production, the Pitinga mine delivered 1,173 tons of tin metal. That's a 21% decrease compared to the third quarter of 2014, and 449 tons of niobium and tantalum alloy, a 42% decrease compared to the third quarter previous year. However, and in spite of the events at Pitinga, our Pirapora smelter reported a 7% production increase in Q3, reaching 1,498 tons of refined tin, mainly as a consequence of the action plans implemented to mitigate the impact of the energy constraints at the mine, which I already explained before. Importantly, in terms of niobium and tantalum, we decided to expand our product portfolio of niobium and tantalum alloys, and as a result, we are planning to produce ferroniobium with 50% or more niobium content, and a niobium and tantalum alloy, which we call ferrotantalum, with a higher proportion of tantalum content than our current alloy product. As you may recall, our current alloy product is composed of 40% niobium, 5% tantalum, and 55% iron. Instead of having one single product that was basically targeted to a very limited market, what we have done is we have started the product development of two different alloys. One is a higher content niobium alloy, and the second one is a higher content tantalum alloy. Both products will replace our current alloy, which we call the Liga, and will allow us to participate in a much deeper niobium market in the case of ferroniobium, targeting the steel market industry, which today represents 90% of the world's niobium consumption. It will also allow us to provide more value to customers who purchase our alloy because of its higher tantalum content. This initiative will enable us to tap the full market potential of our niobium and tantalum business once we ramp up our production capacity in 2016, allowing Taboca to scale up revenues while improving its margins. So we have not only been focusing on repairing the hydro plant and keeping up the production of refined tin at Pirapora and reducing our costs. We have also been working very hard on repositioning our niobium and tantalum business to create more value. In parallel to this, we have also advanced with our expansion plans focused on two main drivers, The first one is increasing our tin production from debottlenecking the plant operations at Pitinga and from processing the slags at Pirapora. And the second one is expanding our plant capacity to double the production of niobium and tantalum alloys, together with developing the new products and markets for these metals in line with what I mentioned before. Increasing our tin concentrate production at the mine also requires us to increase processing capacity at Pirapora, as it is currently running at full capacity. To increase processing capacity by around 40% at Pirapora, we have developed an initiative to sinterize our concentrates before feeding them into the main furnace. This will allow us to have the required processing capacity to support the expected increase in concentrate production at Pitinga and treat other concentrates as well as we come back to full production in 2016. In parallel, we will potentiate our current production of refined tin that comes from the slags accumulated over the years at Pirapora. This initiative has a very significant potential to create value, as it could contribute approximately 1,000 tons of additional high-margin tin in 2016 and onwards. The debottlenecking initiatives and the expansion of our niobium and tantalum flotation plant at Pitinga, the repair of the hydroelectric plant, and the plant expansion at Pirapora are expected to increase production starting on Q3 2016. That's in a year's time. For 2015, we maintain our production guidance with refined tin production between 5 and 6,000 tons in line with the guidance provided at the beginning of the year. Our guidance for the year for the production of our niobium and tantalum alloy is approximately 2,000 to 2,500 tons, and this is split between our standard Liga alloy and the new ferro-niobium and ferro-tantalum alloys that we have already started to produce during the last quarter. In terms of costs at Taboca were also improved during the quarter significantly, reaching a cash cost per treated ton of $20.5. That's 2% lower than the previous quarter, than the same quarter previous year. This result does not reflect the full impact of the cost savings actions taken, as it incorporates the cost effects of the event at the hydro plant in Pitinga, which is mainly a higher energy cost due to the use of diesel power generators, and also the impact of a 23% lower volume of ore treated. So what we're seeing here is that in dollar terms, cost reductions were significant, but the impact of the lower volume of ore treated basically impacted our cost per treated ton of ore, and we were only showing a reduction of 2%. Meaning by that if we would have the full impact that we were expecting prior to the event at the hydro, cost per ton treated would have been 25% lower than the previous quarter, than the same quarter of the previous year. Moving now on to San Rafael, tin production reached 4,130 tons during the quarter. That's 24% lower than the same quarter last year, but in line with the guidance for the quarter. This decrease was driven by a scheduled plant maintenance shutdown of the Pisco smelter and refinery in September, and by the lower tin concentrate production at San Rafael due to the lower ore head grades, which decreased from 2.39% in Q3 2014 to 2.02% in Q3 2015. This in line with the geological model and our mine plan. Reserve grades have stabilized around 2%. That's 5% lower than that mined during the nine months of this year. So as San Rafael's mining grades trend towards this level, obviously production levels will be accordingly affected. However, to mitigate and reverse this trend, we're implementing two very high impact projects. The first one is called ore sorting, which is a mineral selection process using an equipment denominated ore sorter that allows, through the use of X-ray technology, to select and segregate higher grade ore from the ore that is not economically viable. We have run industrial scale tests over low grade stocks with 0.7% tin, resulting in a reduction of 70% of the mass and an increase of tin grade from 0.7% to 2.7%, almost fourfold. Investment in the project is estimated to be in the range of $25 million, out of which 13 have already been invested in 2015. The remaining will be invested in 2016. The project has the potential to contribute approximately with 3,000 tons of refined tin per year, just from processing low-grade ore stockpiled at the mine, which could feed the plant for 2 to 2.5 years. Further tests to process higher-grade ore from the mine are ongoing and may result in potential upside for the project. The project is on schedule and underway. The ore sorters are expected to be up and running during the second quarter of next year. The equipment is arriving next month at San Rafael, and all the civil works and prep works have already started for this significant project. I have to say that this is a breakthrough project for the industry, as we will be the second mine in the world implementing this technology. The second project is our B2 project, which, as you know, is our tailings retreatment project at the San Rafael mine, which is currently under the pre-feasibility stage. Tests are currently being performed on an industrial scale with very positive results. The second phase of the pilot plant test work is starting next week, and we feel very confident of the metallurgical results achieved so far. We have a process flow sheet already defined, and we expect to finish and complete the pre-feasibility study by Q2 next year as well. The team is very focused right now on reducing the capex to further improve the project economics, and preliminary conclusions show a potential contribution of around 5,000 to 6,000 tons per year of very high margin refined tin. We expect B2 to start production in the second half of 2018. Moving on to costs in San Rafael, cash costs per ton treated at San Rafael reached $119 per ton. That's an 18% decrease when compared to the same quarter of last year, as a result mainly of the cost-saving initiatives implemented during the end of last year and during the first 9 months of this year. Still, we continue to seek further efficiencies, which will allow us to reduce costs and conclude the year below the lower end of our guidance of $130 to $140 per ton treated. The cash cost per ton of refined tin reached $8,562 in the third quarter. That's a 1% decrease compared to the same quarter in the previous year, mainly reflecting the lower operating costs at San Rafael, which allowed us to compensate both the lower tin production and the impact of the lower head grades. This is quite significant because despite the significant decline in head grades, we have been able to reduce our cost not only per ton treated, but also our cost per refined ton of tin. Moving on now to Pucamarca, our world-class gold mine. Production in Q3 reached 33,464 ounces. That's a 34% increase compared to the same quarter last year, and this in spite of the expected lower gold head grade. As a result of the strong production performance in the first 9 months, we expect annual production to reach approximately 120,000 gold ounces, well above the initial guidance for the year of 95 to 105,000 gold ounces. In order to further compensate the decreasing head grade, our focus on productivity and cost controls have allowed us to achieve a cash cost per treated ton of ore of $3.7. That's a 31% improvement over Q3 2014. As a result, the cash cost per ounce of gold reached $240 in Q3 2015. That's a decrease of 35% compared to the same quarter last year, consolidating Pucamarca as one of the lowest cost and most profitable gold mines in the world. In terms of cash cost guidance, we expect an annual cash cost per ton treated in the range of $4 to $4.5, below the initial guidance as well. In summary, an operationally strong third quarter, mainly driven by the actions taken to mitigate the challenging market conditions and focused on the execution of a strategy aiming to protect our EBITDA margins and cash flow while ensuring our capacity to drive our growth projects and continue expanding our business in the long term. Our capacity to reduce costs and optimize capex during the year has allowed us to preserve our EBITDA margins and secure the required capital to implement the turnaround strategy for Pavoca. We remain very, very positive about the future for our company, both in Peru and Brazil. With that, let me now turn the call over to Gianflavio Carossi, who will review the financial performance for the period.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. As Juan Luis just mentioned, the quarter presented challenging market conditions, which affected our financial results despite our operating efforts. Having said that, we have conducted aggressive cost-cutting measures in all fronts, such as production costs, administrative expenses, optimization of discretionary growth expenses, just to name a few, some of which are being implemented as we speak and are not yet fully reflected in our results, even though we are starting to see some of the benefits. This should fully contribute in 2016. Moving on to financial performance, net revenues reached $138 million. That's a decrease of 39% compared to the third quarter of 2014, mainly explained by lower tin and gold average metal prices, also due to a 20% lower volume of tin sold and a 34% lower volume of niobium and tantalum alloy sold. It is important to mention that 2014 sales were influenced by a stock optimization plan. This reduction in volumes of sales when comparing 2015 versus 2014, however, were partially offset by higher volumes of gold sold during the third quarter of 2014. Cost of sales during the third quarter of 2015 were 26% lower than that of the third quarter of 2014, as a result of lower unitary cost of production and lower volume sold, as previously explained. However, after accounting for the decrease in cost, gross profits reached $39 million. That's a 58% decrease compared to the same period of the previous year, mainly due to the lower average tin and gold price. Administrative expenses during the third quarter of 2015 reached $8.2 million. That's a 41% decrease compared to the third quarter of 2014. The cost improvements were widely spread amongst all areas as a result of an aggressive expense reduction plan, also as a result of lower workers' profit-sharing expenses and the exchange rate devaluations in Peru and Brazil. In the third quarter of 2015 also, exploration and project expenses totaled $14 million. That's a reduction of 6% compared to the third quarter of 2014. This decrease was mainly due to lower and more concentrated exploration efforts, as well as lower expenses in the development of the pre-feasibility study of our B2 tailings project at San Rafael. Additionally, some brownfield projects are still being reviewed in accordance with the current tin price scenario. Therefore, lower exploration and project expenses can be expected during the fourth quarter of the year. As a result, EBITDA in the third quarter of 2015 reached $33 million. That's a decrease of 59% compared to the third quarter of 2014. It is important to note that EBITDA includes investments in growth projects, which are discretionary by nature. Growth projects are registered as expenses until the completion of a pre-feasibility study. Currently, Mina Justa and San Rafael's tailings treatment projects are at a pre-feasibility stage. During the quarter, we continued to experience the devaluation of local currencies, particularly the Brazilian real. As a result, in the third quarter of 2015, we recorded a $20 million loss due to foreign exchange differences compared to a $15 million loss in the third quarter of 2014. This foreign exchange difference is explained by the impact of the depreciation of the Brazilian real during the quarter over a net liability position that Taboca held in U.S. dollars. Remember that Taboca generates itself in dollars, and as such, it is prudent to finance itself with U.S. dollar-denominated debt. Net finance expenses for the quarter reached almost $10 million. That's an increase of 3% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This increase was mainly due to a loss in financial assets of about $1 million recorded in the third quarter of 2015 compared to a loss of $0.4 million in the third quarter of 2014. As a result, Minsur reported a net loss of $27 million in the third quarter of 2015, significantly impacted by a foreign exchange difference in Brazil. This net loss recorded by the company includes discretionary investments in long-term growth projects. Excluding the results from subsidiaries and associates, the foreign exchange difference, and the discretionary explorations and growth project expenses, adjusted net income would have been about $28 million for the first 9 months of 2015. In terms of liquidity, the company concluded the quarter with $535 million of debt and almost $570 million in cash. This resulted in a negative 0.2 net debt to EBITDA ratio. In terms of CapEx, we invested during the third quarter $15 million, that's a decrease of 15% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. CapEx was mainly allocated to sustaining capital investments at San Rafael and Pitinga and to operational and infrastructure improvements at Pitinga. We continue to strictly evaluate sustaining capital investments based on its necessity to maintain operations. In summary, present market conditions currently weigh on our financial results. However, we are taking the appropriate actions to enhance our operational and financial performance in the short and medium term. The results of these actions are just starting to be felt. However, the full impact of these will be visible in 2016. 2016 will be a point of inflection and a transition year for both Taboca and San Rafael, as actions taken to increase production and mitigate energy restrictions will mitigate some of the cost efficiencies being implemented today. However, as these are temporary in nature, we will be very well positioned to capitalize on these efforts going into 2017. More specific guidance for 2016 will be provided on our fourth quarter earnings call. I want to finalize by emphasizing our commitment towards cost control, operational efficiency, and strong and prudent financial structuring. With this, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. We will pause momentarily to compile a list of questioners. Thank you. We now have our first question coming from Jorge Pudela from Credicorp Capital Peru.
Yes, hello. I just want to know if you can list the specific measures of cost reduction, of your cost reduction plan you have held during the year?
Sure. Our cost reduction plan has involved several aspects. The most important part of them, of that plan, has been the renegotiation of almost absolutely every single material or service being sourced by the company. That has been a very strong effort that has been led by our logistical department with very, very strong and excellent results. We have also focused as well not only on price but also on consumption, and as such we have been focusing on trying to optimize the consumption of specific materials at the operational level. And with that, we're also aiming and we're also achieving certain results. Third, we have also, particularly in the case of San Rafael, we have developed this concept of operational nucleus, which means that we are, when building infrastructure, underground infrastructure, we're making sure that that infrastructure is shared by as many of the fronts as we possibly can, and as such what we have been able to achieve has been a significant reduction in the amount of meters and kilometers that we have to develop underground every year. This effort has just started during the second half of this year and will continue into next year as well.
We have currently two nucleus that are coming into operation this quarter, and we expect another four to be developed and coming into operations throughout 2016. Further on that, we are right now, we just started what we call the phase two of our cost initiative, cost reduction initiative, and that's mainly directed to restructure the organization. And so we just started a full analysis and restructuring of our organization, both in the case of San Rafael and Pitinga in Brazil.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if anyone has a question, please press star 1 now. Our next question comes from Sebastian Cruz from Capital Securities.
Hi, good morning to all. My question is about your query. Can you give us more color about B2 Vancouver project, about timing and CapEx?
Yeah, well, in the case of B2, I think I already mentioned throughout my speech that we expect the pre-feasibility study to be completed by the second quarter next year, and then we will go on into the final feasibility and detailed engineering towards getting into construction in 2017 and starting production late 2018, second half of 18. That's the schedule so far in the case of B2. And in the case of Marcobre, I don't know if the question is related only to the schedule, but we keep the same schedule as we have been reporting before. The pre-feasibility study is advancing as planned and quite well. We should be completing the PFS in the second quarter of 2016 as well. And we expect first production to be coming out of the mine late 2019 and ramping up in 2020. That is the current schedule we have. I don't know if the question, Sebastian, was basically on schedule.
Yes, CapEx.
In terms of CapEx, yeah, in terms of CapEx, again, you know, we're still at the pre-feasibility level, and you know, pre-feasibility level estimates are within the plus minus 30 to 40% range. But CapEx for B2 shall be around $180 million, and the CapEx for Marcobre is between $1 to $1.2 billion right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, if anyone has a question, please press star 1 now. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Krueger for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you all for your continued interest and trust in our company and for your participation in today's conference call. Before leaving, I would like to highlight on page 9 of our MD&A that we released yesterday, the press release released yesterday, we are illustrating the impact both of the lower prices, but more importantly of the cost savings and operational improvements that we have been implementing during the year, which account for around $91 million in the first 9 months of the year. Importantly, obviously, there are part of these savings initiatives and restructuring actions that are being implemented as we speak. So the impact of these actions will be only accounted for in 2016 as there is some implementation lag. As a consequence of that, I think that it's very important to highlight the how robust our EBITDA margins are, with San Rafael, you know, showing a cumulative EBITDA, even at the very low current prices of 46%, our gold mine, Pucamarca, delivering 78% margin, on a consolidated basis, still delivering a 27% margin, offsetting the negative results of Taboca, mainly in the third quarter as a result of the event at the hydro plant. All of these robust profit and EBITDA margins that we're showing are basically above our initial expectations and guidance for the year, despite the around 25% to 30% decrease in prices. So this is just a credit to all my team here in terms of the work that is being done to reduce costs, optimize and streamline capital, and keep really a lot of focus on preserving, as I said before, our EBITDA margins and our cash flows. Please don't hesitate to contact me, Gianflavio, or Vladimiro if you have any additional questions. And we really look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.